Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am thrilled to invite you to Rachel Uncensored, my podcast where I get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. From personal stories to hot button issues, we cover it all. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so make sure you tune in on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.
How many of you guys are eating brisket and ribs tonight?
Hello and welcome to the IGN UK podcast. My name is Joe Screbbles. I'm joined by Dale Driver.
Hello.
And Simon Carley.
Hello.
Dream team. Absolute dream team. Do you remember when we had to do this every week, just the three of us?
Yes, yeah. The firm.
And yeah. Now we've chosen to do...
the firm. People were referring to us as that.
Chosen to do it.
One man.
Twice a week sometimes now, because we're doing extra football
Incredible,
stuff.
Incredible, isn't it?
Giving ourselves extra work.
Write in and call us the firm, so we can call ourselves the firm more often.
We're recording this on Black Friday. The darkest day of the shopping year.
It is actually, yeah, that's a bit of historical context here. It's actually called that because this Friday traditionally used to be the day in the least sunlight. So it's the darkest day on Black Friday.
You bought anything?
Is it?
No, that's complete bullshit.
I was going to say. I'm pretty sure I know the real reason.
I was hoping I'd buy it. Someone would buy it. But no, I got half a nibble.
Don't really care.
No.
You bought anything? Any good deals?
I bought a new clipper. But that was a few days ago. So
you paid full price on it, did you?
No, it was Black Friday is a week long these days.
You know, you can get clippers just for your pubes these days.
What?
Just like specially made for the zone.
Interesting.
I've got a podcast advert for it.
I've got nose and ear hair ones. And I felt like it was something I didn't need until I turned about 30. Mm. And now I need quite regularly.
I pulled out a nose hair the other day. It was... long. Yeah. And I wasn't ready
for it. I've never touched a nose hair.
Yeah, give it time, mate. Give it time.
I've got one.
I'm fairly hairless, though.
I've got one that like just sneaks out every so often, and I'm like, that's got to go. Mm. I hate it.
Something I have to check on every few days these days.
I don't want to buy a clipper just for one nose hair.
That but you'll get more, though. You will get more.
Assault. It feels like a murder as opposed to a grooming.
You know when you see those old men in their 80s and they're just like hairs blooming out of their ears?
It's weird, isn't it?
It happens to all.
It looks like they're kind of got some sort of mushrooms in them or something.
Well, like they're in The Last of Us.
Yeah, it really freaks me out.
They're
going to
be a bloater next.
I know I will.
I haven't bought anything. I was eyeing up the Lego Slave One. Mm. I did this same time last year.
My friends don't listen to this. I bought one of those for my friend's birthday today.
Really?
I was looking at $62.99.
$62 is normally $100.
Exactly.
It's a good deal.
It's still on there on Amazon
I'm looking at it and I'm like, I don't need this. I did exactly the same thing last year. I remember Black Friday last year, the exact same thing. Pretty sure it was exactly the same price. And I was like, it's a good deal. And I don't need it.
We had a good conversation about it this morning, didn't we? Where you were telling me about you're saving money for your mortgage and stuff, and how happy you are. And then you're like, oh, there's a Lego Slave One. I was like, thought you were saving money, mate.
I want to buy a house in the future. So
put the Slave One aside for now.
I could just build one from Lego.
A house?
Yeah.
You could build a house the size of Slave One. Yeah.
How much money do you reckon you have to spend on Lego pieces to build a house?
I don't know. Didn't Ed Sheeran do a song all about it? He had a song about a Lego house.
I'm sure that's real. What are you talking about?
Yeah, he did. Like, on his first album, he had a song called Lego House, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Have I gone mad? Is this a parody I've made up of my
head? I don't know.
Maybe it was Duplo Mansion.
But, but that's definitely the song we have to play at the end of the podcast.
No, I'm not putting that. There's better music we can play.
Meccano Mansion.
Yeah. Connex Village. I liked Connex.
Just in case you're interested, I'm on the lookout for a Hoover. That's all I want this Black Friday.
I mean, you can't go wrong with a Dyson.
I want one of those Cyclone ones.
But Dyson is pre-Brexit, isn't he?
He is.
He's pretty what?
Brexit.
Yeah, he's Mr. Brex.
I don't give a fuck. He makes a good Uber.
You're the problem.
Well, I bought a Dyson earlier this year. It's fantastic. It does me well.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know they're a novelty, but I just never was on the Henry Hoover train.
No,
they're not very
him.
Good. And no. They're not that cute.
They're quite powerful, but they're not like they're not functional around the
they
house
make
their size.
A racket.
Oh yeah.
They do. This is fun. Sorry about that. I'm tired. I was out last night.
Henry Hoover, he was a body remover.
We desperately wanted to sing some Rage Against the Machine at a party last night, and there was no karaoke available.
And what's Henry Hoover's stance on Brexit?
I don't know.
If Henry Hoover is like J. Edgar Hoover, a body remover, then I'm assuming he's pretty
pro-Brexit.
I think
he would just say, let's get on with it and suck it up.
It's a conservative, isn't it?
Well done, mate. I liked that joke. Okay. You know what else I like? Your opinions on films. You've watched The Irishman.
I have watched The Irishman. I watched that day one on Netflix. Day one Netflix. I wasn't wasting time, although I could have seen it 2 weeks earlier if I'd bothered to go to a cinema.
Yeah.
But I just... Well, I did have a whole week off to do that, but I didn't do that.
So it's actually day 15 then.
Yeah.
Day 15, baby.
But do you know what? I'm glad I... Although I do love seeing a film at the cinema, and I'm not going to use the cliche of see it on the biggest screen possible.
Sounds like
it is a 3.5 hour film. Ooh. And it was very handy for 3 times just to hit pause, go to the toilet, not miss a second.
Mm-hmm.
That was good.
You're going for a piss an hour?
I was...
You met him. He needs to piss before walking
well,
to
I'll
the...
I'll tell you...
He needs to piss. Go into the toilet. So I'm going to the toilet. I better have a piss before I go
in. I mean,
that's
the best time to go
in,
right?
The vicious cycle I was in on... was it Tuesday or Wednesday night? Wednesday night it dropped, I think. Yeah. One night this week.
The Hoover was more interesting than that.
Bowel movements were disgusting.
I didn't sleep well the night before. And I was very tired when I got home. Like, I was sleepy at like 7. So I drank a lot of orange juice and lemonade to keep me going during
orange
the film.
Orange juice and lemonade?
Oh, it's one of the most refreshing drinks you can have.
That's a classic mix.
Yeah. Is it more refreshing than water?
It keeps you. It's got a lot of sugar in. It's got sugar in. It'll keep you up, and it did keep me up. But the problem was, every 45 minutes, I was busting for the toilet because I was drinking a lot of orange juice and lemonade.
I want to know more about this orange juice and lemonade. I know this is a really fun podcast.
It's one of the most popular drinks I ever...
It's a very classic... Ever... Like,
do you just, how do you mix it? Do you just pour a bit of orange juice, pour a lemonade, and then just shake it about a bit? Or?
No, I go start with 1/3 lemonade, and then fill the rest up with orange juice. In a glass.
1/3.
Oh, because it's more like
half and half's a bit too sweet and fizzy for me.
It's like the opposite of like a lemonade topper, isn't it? You're putting the lemonade for like 1/3.
Yeah.
It's just a cheeky bit.
Have you never had a can of... They used to do it. It was very good. The Britvic used to just do it in a can.
Oh, I don't think I've ever drank a Britvic.
It was the most popular non-alcoholic drink at the pub I used to work at.
Really?
But we only did... Guys, strap yourselves in. We only did orange juice with bits. And so you get this weird fizzy...
That's what I like, orange juice.
Oh, no, I love orange juice with bits, but when you put fizzy stuff in it...
It's not good.
All the bits get like blown to the side of the glass.
That's why I don't love orange juice.
Also, it's very mucky to clean afterwards.
So it just looks gross. Yeah. Like you're just serving this big fucking...
It's like when you drink a smoothie and it just looks... The glass looks minion afterwards.
And to think we worried that we might not have a lot to talk about this week.
I know!
But then...
Look at us go.
Let me tell you about The Irishman.
One little bit before The Irishman. You know, Americans, instead of bits, they say pulp, don't they?
Yeah, they do. I actually like that more.
Really?
Because it makes it sound more like a fruit has been gotten rid of.
What about with flesh?
Huh?
With flesh.
Mit Fleisch.
Mit Fleisch.
Right, The Irishman. Anyway.
Irishman. It is brilliant. There we go. No, it is... It's like Scorsese's first proper gangster film since... The Departed is about gangsters, but it's not the same vibe as, you know, a Goodfellas. And... Or a casino, in fact.
But, they don't make them like this anymore.
No, and I've read a lot of good things about, like, a lot of good articles about the film, and I agree with a lot of the people saying that this is basically Scorsese's response to everyone who's tried to copy Goodfellas since he makes it, which is... Because everyone who tries to do that sort of film, I think, focuses too much on the cool cutting and the violence and the
Guy Ritchie, and the swearing. I think, is the ultimate version of that.
Whereas Scorsese, what he's done with The Irishman is basically a lot more grown-up version of Goodfellas.
Okay.
It leans more, actually, into... It feels more like The Godfather. And I think that's... There's obvious reasons for that, because Al Pacino plays a big part and Robert De Niro plays a big part. But, and a lot of JFK, it's a lot of a slower... I say it's slow. It's 3.5 hours, but it doesn't feel like it. It does move. It's never boring. It moves along at a good pace.
Yeah, it's not a 3.5 hours made up of long speeches.
And it's like Goodfellas. It's a true story about basically about one man and his life going through with different characters playing a part. But it is more of a historical drama than you'd expect. Okay. It has those JFK aspects, and JFK does play a part in it as well. But yeah, it's more about... It's more political than you think. It's less... It's not... It's a film that heavily involved gangsters, but it's not really an organised crime film as such, I would say.
Right. Do you, is there any bits, do you think it needs to be 3.5 hours?
Because
that always concerns me, that length of time for a film.
I liked it being that long. I do like long films, though. I am a fan of long films, and I wouldn't say there's whole sections that could have been cut. Maybe could have sped up some scenes, but I was just kind of soaking it in. And
I mean, like, I know you're very much like akin to that. Like, I imagine you don't think Blade Runner 2049 was quite a slow film.
Well, it's indulgent, but not too indulgent for me. I could watch that film all day, just look at it. The same way I could just have, if you put Al Pacino, Joe Pesci, and Robert De Niro in a room, I could watch them talk for hours, I think, in these roles anyway.
Yeah, that's fair.
Especially, like, I think Joe Pesci is actually the best of them in this film. We're so used to him just playing the little shouty guy who hits people and gets into mischief, especially in Home Alone.
That's what I remember about Goodfellas. All the mischief.
I mean, he does get into mischief.
But gets into more than fucking mischief.
In Goodfellas, in Casino... Even in JFK, he plays a mad role. His hair in that is absurd. Yeah. If you haven't seen what Joe Pesci looks like in JFK, it's worth searching for.
I haven't watched it for a long time. I'm going to look it up. I can't
do justice by explaining what his hair looks like. But in this, he's just really understated and almost like quietly menacing.
Okay.
But he's just incredible.
Elements, to be fair, he has elements of that in Goodfellas.
Oh, obviously, Jesus Christ.
Oh, I need to see this picture.
He looks like an owl.
Fucking owl.
But JFK is one of my favorites.
Oh my God.
That's so good.
I think I was always going to love this film just because I think it touches Godfather 1 and 2, JFK, Goodfellas, and they are like all in my top like 15 to 20 films. Like, it is my sort of film. I love Scorsese. I think it is incredible.
How's the music?
The music is really good.
Yeah.
It's kind of, it's that again, it's very JFK sound. It's got that little like repetitive like little drum bits, and it's remind me a lot of the music of Joker, actually. It's kind of those like almost melancholic, haunting, like just strings. But yeah, it's a very melancholic film. It's about mortality. It's a lot more...
It's old men talking about
it's
dying
essentially,
art,
it takes place over 6 decades, and that's one of the big discussions about it is the de-aging they've done to De Niro, Pacino, and Pesci, which is phenomenal. Like,
so the conversation is a positive one, then?
Yeah, it looks ridiculous. Only when... Like, De Niro at one point is like 30 or 40, does it look a little bit like... You're looking at it and you're like... It looks a little bit weird because De Niro didn't quite look like that when he was that age.
I think Krupa was describing it as like he's like too hench for a young De Niro. Almost like De Niro when he was was kind of scrawny when he was a
taxi driver. Yeah, he's kind of skinny.
Yeah, he's but like the acting they must have had to do, and you can kind of see at points like even like there's a bit like when De Niro's probably meant to be in his 40s, he. Like, he hits someone. There's some action in this film. There's some hitting and some kicking. But he's still... It does look a bit odd because you're kind of seeing it's the kicking and hitting of a 70-odd-year-old man as a 40-year-old man. And it looks quite stiff. It looks a little bit odd.
Okay.
But it's still... I still think the... So after you watch it on Netflix, it triggers you to watch. There's a 20 to 25 minute roundtable discussion with the three actors and Scorsese.
That's cool.
Talking about the making of the film.
I'd love more of that.
Yeah, yeah. You should watch it after the film though, because it does kind of spoil what happens quite a lot. They talk about the technique of how they did it. Every single camera had three lenses on it. So the main one and two either side. And sometimes it was like three cameras in a scene. So there was like basically nine lenses looking at an actor in a scene.
So yeah.
The actors didn't know where to look. They were like meant to like look off somewhere and they couldn't look down a lens.
What was the purpose of doing that?
It's so that you don't have to, because we were, at one point we were trying to do a feature about this and I got a brief explanation of it, but the idea of it is so that they didn't have to have dots all over their face.
Oh, so they've got the reference points.
It creates a digital 3D version so that they can map that.
Scorsese didn't want to do it with like tennis balls or marks on the face, because he just doesn't think.
I'd love it.
You
if
can have
to
a serious, like a serious, like dramatic scene, and you're looking at someone with marker pen all over their face.
That must be mad for lighting and stuff like that. Like when you've got nine lenses pointing at the scene in different angles. God, how do you hide? Like, I mean, they did it. So
turns out Scorsese knows how to make a film.
Welcome to the Camera Boys podcast.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it's. I don't want to say anything about the story. It is a true story. It's not one I want to ruin, especially if you don't know, like, Al Pacino plays Jimmy Hoffa, who's like pretty much the second most powerful man in America after JFK and probably Nixon during like the 70s. And yeah, if you don't know his story, don't look it up beforehand, because it'll kind of ruin a lot of the tension.
Don't watch the film Hoffa.
I wouldn't anyway. It's, I don't want to spoil it, but it's a great Scorsese film, and it's on Netflix. Yeah. You can watch it on Netflix. Isn't that great?
When do you think de-aging will become easy enough that we can just do it? Mm. I want to de-age myself.
I don't know.
I mean,
can we get three of our cameras and work it out?
There's literally phone apps where you can sort of de-age yourself.
No, but I want to do it like
legit.
I want to play me in the old days.
Really?
I want to. Well, de-aging plus I need to wear a really long wig. Get back the old style.
It's good. Good
I want
film.
It. You've so, also, yeah. Oh, carry on.
No. Go on, you carry on.
I was going to say, you've also watched Parasite, which you promised me you're not going to talk about.
Yes,
I'm not going to spoil this film, or I'm not even going to tell you what genre it is, because I went into this film only knowing that people are raving about it. Oh, not so even knowing the genre of the film.
I thought I already knew what the genre was, so that's surprising to me.
Is it?
Yeah.
Don't tell me.
I'm not going to say it out loud, but I, for some reason, I had it in my head. It was this one distinct thing, so that's exciting. I don't know anything about it.
It's a film that, as soon as you think you know what it is, it becomes something else, is all I'll say. It is unlike any film I've ever seen. If you don't know what Parasite is, it's a South Korean film that came out in Korea in March. It's not actually out in the UK in cinemas till February. It's out in America. It's one of those where we have to wait almost a year to watch it. Mm. But, yeah, I'm not even going to tell you what the genre is, but it is one of the most phenomenal films I've ever seen. I've already watched it twice in a week.
I think I was talking just beforehand. Me and Joe are both probably going to watch it tonight.
I was thinking about it.
Yeah. So, like, I tweeted this actually last night. Like, when I saw Joker, I thought that was an absolutely brilliant film. I thought there's not going to be a film this year that I think's better than that. Both The Irishman and Parasite, I think, are better.
Mm.
But it's hard. All I want to say is, when Parasite does come out in the UK in February, it'll probably have some Oscar buzz around it anyway, so it'll get some notice, but try and see it if you can. I don't imagine it'll be out everywhere.
Yeah.
But if you've got a cinema that is showing it.
It feels like one of those ones where the talk is so... There is so much about it that it feels like it's going to actually end up in a lot of places.
Yeah.
Like, it might not break the
buzz will
bank.
Just push
well,
it through,
I think
yeah.
it... Well, in America, it was the highest grossing film
ever.
No.
What? Look out, Avengers.
What's the best way of saying this? Per, like, cinema it was released in since La La Land. So it wasn't released in many cinemas, but it still grossed a lot.
It's like its ratio.
Those, yeah, like, per cinema it grossed the most. Whatever gross domestic product equivalent is per cinema, I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, so people are seeing it, and yeah, it's so hard to, like, it is... It's only 2 hours, roughly, and it flies by, and it's just... It is in Korean, so you'll have to read it, but it is just brilliantly written, and what else do I want to... You're asking, is it deadly miserable?
I'm very tired today, and I don't want to watch something that's going to make me feel awful.
I don't think it'll make you feel awful.
Okay, good.
No.
Is there positivity to be had?
No, I, well, it is, let's not to ruin it, at times it's a very funny film.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I've heard that.
Right. Yeah. Final question.
Yeah.
The Irishman, Parasite.
Yeah.
Where do they slot into this IMDb?
It's too early for me to slot them in right there, but they're going to have to go above Joker, and I put Joker in at like roughly 40-odd, so...
Ooh.
Like, Parasite is...
The way you've been talking
there.
About Parasite is like...
That's like top 20, I think. That is going high.
How long do you wait before you slot?
I'll wait a little bit. I want to think more about it.
I feel
it.
Like you have like, to wait like 6 months.
Six months
before you slot.
I'll wait a few weeks.
I heard Mark Kermode talking about it and like being quite seriously asked, like, how long do you wait until you put it in your... In your favourite films of all time.
Yeah.
And like, that's pretty big.
Like, yeah.
That's quite something. Because he was talking, I think his response was about, you know, they do that Sight and Sound poll where every 10 years they get a load of critics to give their top 10s.
Yeah.
And the last time he did it, the only film from the 21st century he had in it was Pan's Labyrinth.
Yeah.
And I think this could be the other one. It's, the way he was sort of skirting around it.
Like, I tend to find when I play games, it takes me a while to decide really if I love it or not. It's not instant,
yep.
But with a film, as soon as I see a film, I'm pretty... Not often does my opinion change much over time of how much I loved it.
Mm. I often see, not with you, but with some people, when the buzz of when you come out of cinema, that excitement, sometimes it doesn't truly reflect what the film was. I always like to at least sleep on it. And then a good rule of thumb for me is if I'm thinking about it the next day, then I know it's something excellent.
Yeah. But yeah, I want people to see it. I want basically people to talk to. I've only spoken briefly to like two people on Slack about it. So,
Well, hopefully I'll watch it tonight, mate.
Yeah.
I'm excited. Yeah. We don't often go back to stuff we've talked about. And given that there's
except
not...
Except Football Manager.
Except Football Manager. But yeah, we thought we'd go back to a few games that we've already talked about on the podcast, but that we played more of. In particular, Death Stranding
and of it.
Jedi Fallen Order.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Death Stranding, you might remember, is a game that we reacted to, I wouldn't say vociferously,
no.
But we had our opinions on it, and I've now finished it. You're some of the way
I've started it, at least. Now I'm like 5 hours in.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I, having finished it, I do think that the final 2 hours are... some of the most self-indulgent bullshit I have ever seen in a game. Like, I was furious with it.
just boring to watch as well. There's bits where I felt myself switching off towards the end and just like, oh, right, I've got to pick up the controller up again now, have I? And just wanting to get on with someone else.
It is a barely interactive sequence that forces you to interact to keep not interacting with it. It's insane.
It really, like, I mean... Obviously, I think the game's got a lot of problems. I thought that I said before, I think there's a lot to like in that, and I do. But that last section really soured me on it. It was only playing another few hours afterwards. And the only reason I did that is because I wanted to see what it's like when the servers went online.
Yep.
That it actually, like, I warmed to it a bit more.
Well, that's it. So I have to say, and I've written a piece about this on the site, but the game became good to me when it was over.
Mm.
The post-game is like this weird thing. Kojima-less world where you're not having him stick his nose in.
Well, it has the good bits of Kojima. It has the mechanics and the ideas of how you can break the game and how you can and change things up.
It becomes the extreme hiking simulator that I wanted to play the whole way through.
Well, that's the thing. And I'm only 4 or 5 hours in, and I'm enjoying it at the moment.
Yeah,
and
we should say you and Jesse have started it after us and are both enjoying it a lot more than we did initially.
Yeah, but... I can see myself in a few hours' time. I can see the bits that will start to annoy me if it keeps up what I think it's going to keep up.
I'm pretty sure it will.
Yeah. I genuinely enjoy just the walking, the climbing, the hiking.
Yeah.
I enjoy that holding an L2 and R2 constantly. I'll do it. Why not?
I think that process gets easier for you as you go on as well.
Does.
And you can take on more and move quicker and you fall over less. Mm. But you've got all the exploration parts of it.
The thing is, I just saw like a quad bike next to a station. I was like, why can't I use this?
Yeah, you have
why
to wait.
Are you not letting
they
me
tease
press...
you for a while with
it,
that stuff.
It even says press square and it's just a big X through it. I'm like, what? Does he not know how to drive?
Well, it's when you first when you first leave Capital Knot City as well. There's giant vans and stuff around.
You walk up and all their wheels are locked.
It's like, this is a piss take. That's him flaunting it.
Yeah, I've only had to do it, three times so far, but fuck me, do I hate just crawling through BT.
Mate.
It's just dull.
It's rubbish.
get used to it. Yeah. You got loads more of that.
Like, I was... It's kind of an interesting thing because the game obviously wants you to do some of that stuff.
Yeah.
But the majority of those areas become quite easy to spot as you go through.
Yes, definitely. Mm.
And you can take really long routes around them. And I ended up having way more fun working out how to take a long route than doing the short route and taking that hit to my score. Because, like, just fuck doing that stuff.
But there was the one mission I had to do recently where I was just like, go collect some of the chiral crystals.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're deliberately all in a BT rainy area. I'm like, whoa.
What I will say is, apart from the main story missions you have to do, always, always avoid doing any deliveries for the wind farm.
Oh,
because
God, yeah.
That place, there's no way of... You have to go through BT terminal every time, and it's a ball ache every time you do it.
The way I'm playing at the moment, I don't intend on doing anything that's not a main, like a critical path.
But you will be on missions where you see, oh, I've got to make this delivery, but if I take on this one, it's on the way anyway.
And
you'll find out, you're like, I might as well, because I'm going on the way, and you'll get, you know, everything. And the more points you get, the more higher ratings you get with the different preppers and stuff, you get more equipment to use.
Do I care though? Do
some,
I need
some
that
of the stuff is a lot better.
Some of the stuff they give you is really useful. I found out after finishing the game from someone on Twitter that, like, there's an item you can get that just turns off BT encounters.
What?
I know, and I'm so angry. I never found it.
Don't spoil it, obviously, for other people or me. But is it like you just stumble across, or is it like via a mission?
I think it must be given to you by someone.
Pretty much all new items are when you get a star level for these stations. When you get to a new level, they'll give you an item.
Yeah, so I just got given I can build a bridge.
Yeah.
But I genuinely love, like, those early moments where you're just walking along and the music kicks in. That feels great. I think the music is incredible.
Both the licensed
stuff and the score. Like, they've done that really well. But then, yeah, I'm already at the stage where I'm walking and there's no music kicking in. I was like, can't we just... I'd like some music here.
Yeah,
like,
it does happen quite a lot.
It does, but there's also no music player. Which is odd. Like, the only place you can choose to play music in that game is in your private room, which is a place you want to leave quite quickly.
Yeah. I'm not at the stage where I'm listening to my own music or podcast yet while playing it, just because I do think the sound design's great and I do like listening to it. And
I think the sound effects are phenomenal as well. Like, I love the noise of that little codec. I can't do it. But
and I do like that everyone has their own stupid ringtone. There's something really satisfying about it.
And even like the sound noises are really satisfying noise. I can hear it in my head.
So everyone
right
has
now.
Their different ring. Like, no,
every person has a different ringtone when they call
it's
you.
Slightly different.
Okay. I thought you were saying every individual player who's playing the game.
No, it's a different one.
I think the sound across the board.
Yeah.
Like, if there's best of awards that are talking about just sound design and music, so I think Death Stranding absolutely is like the number one.
As an audiovisual experience, it's incredible. There's also in that terrible final 2 hours, there is a piece of performance capture that is better than I have ever seen in a game. Mm. And I don't understand. Like, it's eerie how good
it is. It's so good. It's just a shame that person is speaking bollocks.
Yeah, it's like it's the other side of the Uncanny Valley. You know when, like, Uncanny Valley is all about that doesn't look quite right, but I can't tell why.
Yeah,
this looks so right that it freaked me out. I was like, what?
I'm still at the point where I'm intrigued in the story. I don't know how often they feed you actual proper big cutscene chunks of it at this point.
Did you finish Metal Gear Solid 5?
I've not played. Oh no, okay. I have played Metal Gear. I did not finish it. No.
It was very much. It's very much like that. There's big story dumps, and then there's hours of just doing
nothing,
stuff, and then you'll get another massive story dump.
As far as I know, those hours were far enough apart. I wanted more hours.
Yeah. Well, that's up to you. You could have took longer journeys and did different things.
I'm enjoying it at the moment.
If you mainline it, then obviously, yeah. But I was doing more like sidey quest stuff as I went.
But I'm enjoying it at the moment, but I do fear I've just reached the point where most people start to discover it's a slog.
I am really interested to, in a few weeks, I want to go and check trophy count and see where people are dropping
off. That's interesting,
Like, I would love to know where people are stopping.
Mm. But for data purposes, you should compare it to a lot of other games as well.
Of course,
because I, as it may documented on this podcast, I like looking at trophies and observing trophies. And you'll always be amazed at how, like, low some of the percentages are for just finishing any game, even if it's a six-hour-long game and stuff. So
People just pick stuff up and drop it.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. So comparing it to that, it'd be super interesting to see how many people drop
I'm enjoying that. I'm only playing, like an hour at a time, and I'm like, right, I've had my fill, I'm done. I feel like that's the way to play this game, whereas I feel like maybe you didn't have the best time knowing you had to finish it, but you wanted to finish it before launch.
I kind of did have to finish it because I had to create some videos
about
it.
I imagine a lot of people that when they had to review this game and stuff had to like play good 6-7 hour chunks at times.
Yeah,
but then
I can't imagine playing that game all day. I know people that have and they seem to like it, but personally, that is like an hour for me. I'm done.
I did it about 10 hours straight one day, I think. And that was when I was getting towards the end and I was like, right, I could see the finishing line and I just wanted to get through it.
Yeah, except the finishing line keeps moving further and further away.
But maybe there's something to be said for that. Unfortunately, I can't ever go back and change that experience.
So. I don't think this will ever happen, but it does genuinely make me hope for another developer to be like, right, so that thing, the walking stuff, the delivering stuff, turning fetch quests into something meaningful, works. Like, I would want to see someone try and make that game without the trappings of all this, like, bullshit. Because Daniel Robson from IGN Japan, friend of the podcast, keeps talking about how it's similar to this game The Tomorrow Children that came out a few years back and got cancelled because, or got shut down because no one was playing it. But, like, he says the social stuff is basically that game. And whether that's a coincidence or not, I don't know. But I would love a game where you have a bit more of this, like this feeling that there's like invisible people all around you making stuff, building stuff.
Joe, it's called the Strand System.
It is a social Strand System. Like there is something really nice, particularly, and I don't know if you've seen it or heard about it, so I don't want to talk about exactly what it is, but there's a thing that starts happening in chapter 3 with how you can get around the world, like a particular structure type thing, that I think is the best version of watching all these players help each other.
Okay.
And like, not only is it one of the coolest effects in the game, like it makes the world look very interesting.
Yes.
It feels the most like, oh wow, we're all in this together, and it does actually communicate that feeling.
I spent at least a couple of hours actively like trying to pursue that as well, thinking, oh, I'm helping myself, but I'm helping others as well. And the thought was, if I do this more, then hopefully the server will bring in more people working with me, because it like rewards you if you connect with people.
Yes.
And I thought, if we work together, then hopefully these things will happen more as
well. It's quite opaque about whether that does happen.
Yes.
I'm never quite sure what the effect of me is.
They tell you at one point, they say, when you're in the seam, they say, if you connect with other players in the seam, then you will have more of their stuff in your game. It just tells you that. And then there is in the menu, you can make a strand contract with other people.
Well, I did that with you.
Yeah, and it just shows you. Although it's mad though. So you told me you did that with me and I went through and I could, even though I'd liked some of your stuff in the past and you're on my friends list, could not find your name to save my life.
What?
You can't just search for your friends.
That's
it's just,
so weird.
It just pulls in all these random names.
Yeah, it's all
you're
the
on
stuff
the other side.
Yeah, and so I did it as soon, I basically came across one of your things randomly. And went, okay, he's now in the list. So I then just clicked it. And I like that too, where you get this feeling of, oh, my mates were here.
Yeah.
Or, you know, or like the fucking Timefall shelters you put down and finding them being like, thank you so much, Dale.
Actually be interested to hear if like people have ran into them as well. Because like I had a Timefall shelter that had like 10,000 likes or something like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's Drivdak, by the way. That's my PSN name. If you see that, let me know. Because I just would be interested like how is it put out there? Is it just plucking at random, or is it ones that, okay, this one's a bit more popular, so we'll serve it to more people?
Yeah.
And is it like a self-fulfilling prophecy at that point that it's going to become like viral, so to speak?
I feel like since it came out, we haven't had any feedback from people about Death Stranding, and I would really like to know what people thought
if
of it.
If anyone's actually playing it.
Because I think we were kind of, particularly at that time, I think we were kind of outliers for our
And do you know what I think? I don't think we were that negative on it. I just think in comparison to other people, and perhaps as a reaction to other people's response to it, we did lean negatively because we were looking around thinking, are people seeing a different game to us?
Yes, absolutely. So IGN underscore
and
UK
I think
feedback.
Especially if
IGN underscore UK feedback at IGN.com.
I do think especially if, like me, you follow Hideo Kojima on Twitter and you're bombarded by about 100 different retweets of people saying how genius it is.
Yeah,
you tend to think that maybe the whole world loves it and you don't.
It's like it's like he's trying to lose that Guinness World Record he got. I unfollowed him.
Did you see some of the sales data for it, though?
No.
So it was just very anecdotally, like seeing what people have posted on Twitter, but they're saying apparently lots of reports that it sold extremely well in the first week and then had a rapid drop off almost immediately and then hasn't picked up since. So that strikes me as, you know, all those people that were super interested in like hardcore gamers, so to speak, but then the average person, are
yeah,
they
it's
into
not
their
word
standard?
Of mouth. Yeah. It's not, yeah, because I think it was Red Dead sold consistently well for ages and that kind of thing. Yeah, that's interesting.
But I kept playing it for an hour and I was like, I'd play something else, so I started The Outer Worlds, and that's really fun. So I'm much more interested in going this weekend. I'm much more interested in playing The Outer Worlds, and I am Death Stranding.
I really want to play that game.
I haven't got it yet. I've played like 4 or 5 hours.
Really, I really like it. It's just a colourful Fallout where you can actually do a lot more through talking.
Yes.
Than a Fallout game, I think. There is a lot of talking in Fallout games, but I feel like you can circumvent whole situations in this just through conversation.
You could do that in Fallout. You just had to get your speech right like enough always, and your intelligence high enough.
Most of the time there, I feel like in this there's less go clear out this place full of horrible monsters and then we'll have a chat. Whereas this, you could have the chat and never have to do that, if you know what I mean.
And that would be a good thing, because fuck me, that combat's bad.
Like, I think it's really all right. I think it's all right compared to a Fallout game, because I do love Fallout 3, 4, New Vegas, but they have never quite got the shooting right.
No.
And I do think this is better than a Fallout game, but yeah, it's still not a good
have a
shooter.
VAT system?
It has a slowdown.
Yeah, it's a different
thing.
It
is VATS.
VATS is
super slow.
No,
it's not.
It doesn't pause. It just
VATS
slows.
Is like copyrighted.
Yeah.
You don't pause like and then choose a part of the body. It just slows time.
Okay.
But I think you can add extra
you can add
abilities
stuff
to
like
it, right?
To it. You can add like critical points and stuff like that. But yeah, I'm just putting a lot of my stuff into dialogue and tech and charm because that's kind of what I am anyway.
Oh, God. I'm playing it as... I never really do this. I usually try and make sort of a useful all-round build. But in this one, I've put almost everything into... basically, I'm playing it as a massive liar. Like, I'm lying at every possible opportunity trying to play as, like, this incredibly intelligent, devious dickhead
just
who keeps...
Bullshitter.
Like, I'm just trying to make everyone play against each other whenever I can.
That's actually
like, the little bits I've managed to do of that have been quite fun. It's, like, promising you'll do something for someone and then giving their stuff to someone else and stuff like that.
That's why I've got my ladies called Borgullet. Because every video game create character I now make is called Borgullet.
It's very good.
He never says it in Fallen Order, though.
Borgullet. I know, it's really annoying.
Spoilers. No Borgullet in Fallen Order.
Let's talk Fallen Order, because we've
could be
all
deal.
The finished
Borgullet.
It now?
I finished it a couple of days ago.
We're not spoiling, though.
No, we're not spoiling.
No.
I feel pretty similarly to how I did before. Yeah.
I feel like
I don't know if I talked about it on here before. Anyway.
You did last week, didn't you?
I think I hadn't played it last week, so I think you... Or I played the very start.
Okay.
But yeah, that is...
I think...
It's a weird
Speaking
game.
To everyone in the office, we pretty much share a similar opinion on it, that we all think it's an okay to good game.
Yeah. I am surprised by the positive reaction it's had.
Yeah. Like, for me, it's in the sevens. It's a good game.
Yes,
I had fun playing it. I don't think it does anything particularly new. I think it's a fine Star Wars story. It's not particularly interesting.
I think it feels very Star Wars-y,
it does
though,
feel,
and I do like that.
And it's not a bad-looking game, but I do think
it's
when you're used...
I think it's a bad-looking game.
For the kind of region of games it sits in, like if you're putting it up against something like God of War or
Sekiro or
like
something,
these games that have similar structures...
Yeah.
It looks terrible by comparison to those things.
And I'm saying, especially when we're now used to Star Wars games looking like Battlefront 2, which is one of the most gorgeous games I've ever seen.
Like, it's astonishing. If you think about when even Battlefront 1, if you think about what games looked like when that came out, it is mad that it looks that
good. I think from a distance, it looks good. Some of the landscapes from a distance is good, but when you
very
get
foggy.
On... Yeah, when you get in... to textures and faces.
I think there's a lot of technical issues as well. Like
it crashes.
Last night it was stalling for me a lot and I could see textures loading.
Apparently,
as well.
It makes Xboxes scream. I read someone say, "I've never heard an Xbox scream before."
But yeah, I think I did pretty much exactly what you did, Dale. And at some point during the game, just whack the difficulty down. And like, I just want to feel like a Jedi.
Exactly.
And get through this, see the story, have fun just wiping out stormtroopers and bugs if I must.
Oh, hit the poison fucking bugs, man. And but, that is not Star Wars fantasy. That's the, they did this in the fucking single player for Battlefront 2 as well. Mm. Like, the section with Luke Skywalker is just killing bugs with a lightsaber. Yeah. It's like, oh, that's not
my fucking...
Do you
know what that is, though? A part of me thinks it's just so you can have lightsabers cutting things in half.
Yeah.
Because they wouldn't show... They don't want to show that with anything like anthropomorphic, you know?
It's bullshit. It's, just have some balls.
But I did have fun playing it. I do think when you actually have a... Like, the boss battles, a one-on-one lightsaber fight, it feels really good.
Like, yeah, that does feel... Lightsaber on lightsaber combat is pretty satisfying, yeah.
But... Yeah, I don't really have much to add to what you said last week, but I pretty much agree with it. I do think the ending's good. I'm not going to spoil it. I do think it's a good payoff.
Wicked, yeah. I really like the ending. I know there is a bit of me that wants more of that story. Like, I really like Cal Kestis more than anyone else I've met.
I think he's fine. I don't have a problem with him. I think he serves the story well. He's not particularly interesting. He's fine.
I genuinely think there's points in that, particularly his relationship with BD-1, I really like.
Yeah.
I genuinely find him extremely endearing.
I just find him overall a bit like...
He's just there.
I don't really... Yeah, what's his... He doesn't really seem emotionally affected by what's going on around him.
I think the problem for me is that in skipping... In using his childhood as a flashback sequence throughout the game... You skip a lot of what might make him emotionally interesting.
Yeah.
And so what you're left with is the guy who's become a sort of hardened shell who never really gets out of that. Mm. Like, he goes from emotionally distant and, like, separate from his feelings to someone who's just really good. Mm. And, like, there's no point where you're like, he was vulnerable. You skip the whole section where he's having a bad time.
I think the intro pacing is all over the place. So from a narrative perspective, like I get from a gaming perspective, yeah, it's getting you straight into the action, right? But I think it's mad how he's this guy who's been hiding and clearly probably hasn't used his force powers in what, like, I don't know, 5 years or something like that? What did
it say? It's set 5 years after
you've got
all
to think,
66.
Right, when he found somewhere to go live, right, he stopped doing all that stuff because he only has to use it in a case of emergency.
Yep.
But then all of a sudden, once that's happened, that's it now. Full steam ahead.
All over the place.
I'm number one Jedi.
So number one Jeds.
But then they get to the planet and he's just like, right, you go off, you're the hero here. And it just feels like, there's a step in between that was missing.
I've forgotten how to double jump.
Mate. It's not a spoiler to say that the double jump is the last power a Jedi gets in this game.
It's not the exact last one.
No, it's the last power. There's not the last skill.
And it just makes, like, traversal so much more enjoyable as well. Like, before that, like, even all the abilities you get.
I know it's a video game, so it feels like nitpicking, but yeah, a lot of it doesn't make sense force-wise. Like,
it doesn't. If you're going to take them Metroidvania style, I think the key that often gets forgotten by people making Metroidvania games is that it should be interesting as to why you can't get somewhere.
Yeah.
Like, you should see something and go, I don't know what that does. I don't know how to do that. And if the basic block in the game is, I can't jump that far, that is not making enough of that useful.
Especially when you're... inevitably try to make that jump several times and then realize, okay, I probably need to do this later. I like it to be completely obvious that, I clearly need something else to do this, not tease me with it. Like those crates that you have to slice open and then open them afterwards.
Yeah.
It's such a boring element to that.
I'll tell you what I like, and this is very boring, is I like that Interact is on R3. I don't know. I think it feels really... It feels much better. Yeah. Like, for some reason, walking up to someone and going, all right, now I have to hold square to talk to them, it feels way more natural to just walk up to them and click the stick that I'm already holding.
Yeah,
it feels more seamless somehow.
There's a few button configurations I think are weird, though. I think diving... with square and also square being the lightsaber. When I jump and I'm heading toward, I want to press square, I want to start diving.
Yes, I agree.
And not get his lightsaber out before I fall in the water.
I don't even think I unlocked that ability and used it.
What, swimming?
No. I thought there's one where you can...
What, dive underwater?
Oh, sorry, I thought you meant there's... Isn't there a ability where you can do almost like a ground...
Oh, you can do a ground pound. I never used it.
Oh, there's a lot of powers here. I never touch.
Throwing the lightsaber
is
sick.
I thought it was fine. I liked it. I just think that Control came out this year and did almost every aspect better.
Yes, indeed.
Absolutely. So if you put a lightsaber in Control, that's the better game. Oh, like mechanics wise.
Can you imagine how good that would feel and how good it would look?
Oh, get them. Get Remedy making the next Star Wars game.
Get Remedy putting a beam sword in DLC, and I'll play it forever.
Well, there are two bits. Yeah. Who knows?
Can't wait. I had one more thing to say. Yeah, I also think Matt has provided the best bit of possible insight into this game on the last time we talked about this, which was he thinks this could be the Assassin's Creed 2 and Assassin's Creed 2.
Yeah, definitely.
And like, no matter my kind of lukewarm feelings about some of it, I love the idea of Respawn being given a bit more time, a bit more money. Like, I'm sure this is done very well, and they're now being asked to make another
one. Really well, yeah.
I just want,
just don't make me slide down ice.
Fuck sliding.
Get rid of that. And like, just make more interesting levels, I think, in general. Like, I'm doing a run through now, doing a collectible run through because, you know, and I just, it's getting around some of those levels is just a slog.
I know, like,
I quite like the puzzles. I could have done with one or two more of those.
Yeah,
I know, like, flying around planets and stuff is kind of, you know, it's Star Wars in it. Mm. But I wouldn't mind a game where it was just all on one planet.
Yes.
And, like, make.
Imagine a fast travel system. Make control in the Death Star.
Or, like, I would genuinely love a giant 3D AAA Metroidvania world where it's like, I start in the middle of this in, like, a city, and I can't get out to this bit of it without getting something from a story mission over here. And, like, that feeling of unlocking this world through my own skills would be so satisfying, particularly with Star Wars. I just
make it like
that.
Arkham Asylum.
Yeah,
as well. That's that. You know, you're starting its own, and then you get it's Metroidvania, and you get new equipment. And you see that bit over there that you can't reach because you haven't got this certain grappling hook and stuff like that. That's fine, but also building fast travel points because I fucking hate it. I hate not having getting to a boss, killing the boss. And then not having a travel back to your ship.
Running back on Dathomir is one of the worst things.
Oh, it's a pain in the ass. It's just like, and I get what they're going for, but it's just not fun.
No. I think that's one of those things where it's like idealism over actual enjoyment. That is enough talk. We've done loads. Well done, boys. I would like to play a game now, please, Cardi.
Inside, it's a UK IGN crew. Yeah. Yeah, and the ones and twos. We got the games gonna play for you. Inside, I got a question for you. Hold tight, the DJ, we coming through. Yeah, and the ones and twos. We got the games gonna play for you. Inside, I got a question for you. Is it in the search?
We are going to play another game of What Did They Say?
Which was a really hard quote game.
It was a really hard quote game, but I've done my own clues and hopefully I've made it easier for you lads.
Okay.
I've tried to pick. They're all quite popular films and they're all quite popular quotes. If you don't remember what this game is, I've picked five quotes from a film. They get less obscure as we go down. You get 5 points if you get on the first one, one if you get on the last. Mm-hmm. But the twist is these quotes have been translated from English to Korean to Latvian.
Yes!
To Portuguese. To Greek. Ooh. And then back to English.
Blimey.
So they will have been a bit construed.
Didn't you say when you were putting this together this time, you kept finding quotes that were just the same?
Oh, yeah. Surprised
amount
of times.
Turns out Google Translate's really good.
This was sent in from some of our Australian listeners. Thank you very much. I enjoy the game. Here's my version.
What is the name of this game, by?
It's called What Did They Say? As in, what did they say?
Oh, right, okay.
What did they say?
It doesn't need to fit in that anymore.
But fucking hell, do you remember when we used to do that?
So,
yes.
I had to get in the VO booth every week to record a new one.
I think we did it for like 2 weeks. So here we go. Film
classic
number
firm.
One. Here's the first badly translated quote.
Is there a link?
There's no link. I've just picked five popular films. It's hard enough finding films with five quotes in.
Yeah. What? It's hard enough finding films with five quotes?
Five memorable quotes.
Memorable. Okay. Yeah.
Like, some of these you might not, but you know, I'd be surprised if anyone gets one on a first go. Let's put it that way. Okay, but some of you might.
We'll see.
Film number one. Here's the badly translated quote. We slow and change men's history and make waffles in the morning.
Oh, that's
Pulp
good.
Fiction.
We slow and change men's history.
I bet it's not waffles. I feel like it'd be like pancakes.
You've got to try and
like
see
that.
Which words have been
Shrek.
It is Shrek.
Yeah, what?
That's the only film I could think of with waffles.
I didn't think you'd remember that quote from
what
Shrek.
Is the quote?
I'm making waffles.
Is that it? I'm making waffles.
I don't know.
Well, fair play. Maybe I've made this too easy.
I love it.
So the real quote of that is, we can stay up late swapping manly stories, and in the morning I'm making waffles.
Slow men's history.
I didn't know if you knew Shrek that well, so I've done ones that maybe are too obvious quotes.
Shrek 1 holds up, mate.
It's amazing. I watched it a couple of weeks ago. This one you probably would have got straight away then, because it's not that changed, but I thought, would you have got it from Blue Flowers, Red Fawns, Blue Flowers, Red Fawns,
no,
Blue Flowers,
probably
Red
not
Fawns?
That, no.
If it's not for colours, it will be much easier.
Oh, right, okay, well, he's colourblind.
He goes, yeah, Blue Flowers, Red Fawns, this would be so much easier if I wasn't colourblind.
I don't remember that bit.
Would you... quote number three for that was, okay, nobody's moving. I have a dragon here and I'm not afraid to use it. I'm a stupid aside. it's all right, nobody move. I got a dragon here and I'm not afraid to use it. I'm a donkey on the edge.
Are they all donkeys quotes?
Not all of them, but he does have a lot of the big quotes.
Okay.
No buttons. No sword drop buttons.
What?
My gumdrop buttons.
It changed gumdrops to sword somehow.
That's cool.
Not the gumdrop buttons.
Not the gumdrop buttons.
And then last one, just because I wanted people...
You're loving it. No, Shrek's amazing. That's right.
It is brilliant.
It is a good film. Remember the bit when he sees the boulder and he's just like, I like that boulder. That's a nice boulder. That's a brilliant line.
I didn't know you love Shrek so much.
Only Shrek 1.
I tend to make the last one of these very easy, just so no one's getting no points on any.
Okay.
So the last one was, ogre is like onion.
All right.
Oh, no. Ogre is like an onion. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah. That's... Layers. So, got lots of layers.
Joe's got five.
I genuinely think the waffles one is the only one I would have got until the final clip.
I thought that one's harder. Maybe. It's hard to know what other people know, though, isn't it, in this world?
I just, like, I really like it when he says, I'm making waffles.
Okay. Waffles. Film two, quote number
such
one.
Such a nice face.
I might watch Shrek tonight instead of Parasite.
Both classics. okay. Here we go. Quote number one from film number two. My wife and I go to Mexico. I'll stay away from you.
My wife and I go to Mexico. Desperado.
Nice. In Mexico.
Yeah.
Dusk Till Dawn.
Let's go number two. You're getting out of the basket in the middle of the desert, and I didn't give it away for a sweet face to buy the land.
Say that again.
You're getting out of the basket in the middle of the desert, and I didn't give it away for a sweet face to buy the land.
Oh. The Hangover?
No.
I can't get Breaking Bad out of my mind. I just sack that off.
El Camino.
El Camino.
It's not. I'll give you a couple more seconds. God.
No.
Nothing?
What's that film where they go out? Fear and Loathing?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Number three. I have a contest. I don't want others to succeed. I hate most people.
Oh, that sounds familiar.
I have a contest. I don't want others to succeed. I hate most people.
I feel like I have a thing that I don't like other people to succeed. I know this quote.
I'm going for the next one. I want to speed it up. It's fucking quote number four. I left the baby.
The Hangover.
No.
Said the Hangover.
Oh, right,
so I left the baby.
Hangover Part 2.
That's an exclamation mark on the end. I left the baby.
Oh, Home Alone?
No.
No.
It's not a baby.
Well, it could be translated that way.
Oh,
if it's
yeah, fair enough.
This one's
enough.
A hard one, I'm glad. Because I was worrying they'd all be
have
five.
Have I seen this film? Well,
I think you have.
Okay.
I left. This sounds so obvious.
I left the baby.
Oh, my God, no.
Oh, no. Wait.
Were you trying to work out from my...
Is it... what's that film you like about oil? There Will Be Blood.
There Will Be Blood.
It is There Will Be Blood. That was I've Abandoned My Child.
Yes,
translated.
That's it.
It's actually because I have seen it, but I barely remember it.
I've left the baby. That's 2 points to Joe. That means 7-0 up.
What's the final one?
I drink your shake.
Oh, I was hoping it was going to be like, I'm done.
I'm finished. Yeah.
I like to think we're going... your top 10 of your IMDb right now, by the way. Shrek and There Will Be Blood.
Shrek is up there.
Blade Runner. Is the next one Blade Runner?
No.
Fuck, I thought you genuinely got that. He looked at you for a second like, you prick.
I'm not that obvious. All right. So my wife and I go to Mexico. I'll stay away from you. I'm going to Mexico with my wife. I'm going away from you.
Yeah.
You're getting out of the basket in the middle of the desert and I didn't give it away for a sweet face to buy the land was you're an orphan from a basket in the middle of the desert and I took you for no other reason than needed a sweet face to buy land.
Oh God, he's horrible, isn't he?
Yeah.
I wanted to do Bastard from a Basket, but that just translated directly. So I couldn't. I have a contest. I don't want others to succeed. I hate most people. I have a competition in me. I want no one else to succeed. Yeah. I hate most people. And then we've got already done the other two. So there we go.
Ooh.
So number three.
I left my baby.
Right. A person who makes a good chair owes no money to the chair.
Oh.
A person who makes a good chair owes no money to the chair.
That's really, it feels really profound. Oh, that does sound familiar.
Yeah, it sounds really familiar.
I'm going to say, Away We Go by Sam Mendes.
No, I haven't actually seen that.
Oh, it's a lovely film.
Gran Torino.
No. I didn't grow up stories about chickens.
Chicken Run?
No. I didn't grow up stories about chickens.
I'm trying to retranslate that.
Yeah. This game's tough.
Hmm.
I'm rubbish at it.
I've picked films that you both all would have seen, I think.
Yeah.
I didn't grow up stories about chickens.
Forrest Gump.
No. Next one. We Can Only Do It. I'm 6'5", 220. I have two people.
Fuck. Social Network.
Yes.
Oh, you bastard.
There we go. That was... We can do that ourselves. Oh, yeah, I'm 6'5", 220, yeah. And there's two of me. It's not I have two people.
The wrinkle vibe.
A person who makes a good chair owes no money to the chair is a guy who makes a nice chair doesn't owe money to everyone who has ever built a chair. Zuckerberg.
Yeah.
He's a poet, isn't he?
Nope.
Well, sort of.
He's a maniac. Have you?
He's CEO.
Did I send? Yeah, we sent around that selection of clips of him doing Facebook Live from his garden talking about his barbecue. Have you seen it?
Instead of music, we're putting 30 seconds of that. It's at the end of the podcast.
It's one of the most.
Read the rest of the quotes, Andrew. So bring it up and play it on the mic.
Oh, you're going to play a bit of it now. Okay. I didn't grow up stories about chickens. I didn't plant the story about the chicken.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. Can I interrupt? I think my dad's calling me because he thinks he might have been killed in terrorist action
just
today.
Do it on the phone. Do it on the podcast. Do it live.
Don't do it on the podcast.
Do it.
Oh, one sec.
Loudspeaker.
We're not making light of this, by the way. Hey, Pops. Yeah. Are you checking on me because of troubles? All good. And Anna's fine as well. You're on a podcast at the moment. Yeah, we're in the middle of recording a podcast, but I didn't want to leave you waiting for me to call
Hello.
You back.
How's it going?
He says, good, how are you?
I'm all right, actually, thank you.
He says, thank you. He's all right. It's going great. This is going to be gold. We'd really lost energy, so I think this is really pepping it up.
Job's 10-0 up.
Yeah, I'm winning 10-0 in a game. I'm really happy.
Piss take.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, you've beefed it up. Don't worry about that. All right. Yeah, I'm not dead. It's fine.
Is he going to say love you at the end?
Ooh. All right. Yeah, good to talk to you too. Love you. Bye-bye.
Stay safe.
That's cute.
I love my dad.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Well, this one's a long one. I wish I'd put it in. It's a small social network. You'll probably be a very successful computer person, but you will always think that you do not like a woman because she is beautiful. And I want you to know that this is not deep in my heart because you're an idiot.
That's so good.
That one is actually, you're probably going to be a very successful computer person, but you're going to go through life thinking that girls don't like you because you're a nerd. And I want you to know from the bottom of my heart that it won't be true. It'll be because you're an arsehole.
Idiot.
Oh, what an amazing film that
is. It's such a good film.
It is. I think, if I'm pressed to say what do I think is the best written film ever, I think that one is pretty much.
Especially
up
considering
there.
How dry the subject matter is.
It could,
as
could
well.
Have been, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that opening scene is phenomenal.
Oh, my God. So good.
That is how you edit a conversation.
That's how you edit everything.
The last one. $1 million is not cool. Do you know what's cool? $1 billion. Why is it translated one of those
so
and not
good.
The other one?
I love Google Translate. What a mad piece of shit.
Right, number four.
Okay.
You can still get,
I need to get
both of these first time though.
First.
You can do it. And do you know what? This first one, I was questioning whether it's too easy. So you might get it.
I mean, but it'd be too easy for Joe too. So let's go.
Well, who knows? Everyone cheated on me. I'm tired of this world.
Is that The Room?
It is The Room.
Yes. Hello, it's one for one.
Therefore, the real quote is, everyone betrayed me. I'm fed up with this world.
Yes, do you know what it was, though? It's your delivery. You kind of did a little bit like him.
It's hard not to.
Do you know what's mad? Is it makes more sense after the translation. It does. It's a better written line.
That's what I found funny about these.
I'm fed up with this
there's
world.
There's so many good quotes.
Fed up with this
there's
world.
There's so many good quotes, it was hard to find a hard one on this. But here we go.
Is it you're tearing me apart?
Do you want the actual ones first or the badly translated?
I want the actual ones first.
So the actual ones. It's bullshit. I did not hit her. I did not. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Mark.
Actually translated to, too bad. I miss you. I didn't do that. Oh, it scores.
Wow.
Oh, it's taking the word Mark.
It's changing the word Mark.
In case, yeah, in this case, that was bad. Yeah.
Actual quote. Anyway, how's your sex life?
Love that bit.
Do you giggle at films like this? Shrek and the
I haven't watched it in a good year or so now, and I think I'm ready.
It
I
know, is good, like, isn't it?
This is like obvious to most people, but if you haven't seen The Room, I really can't impress upon you enough how good it is.
Watch The Room and then watch The Disaster Artist afterwards as well. It's like just a fantastic back-to-back.
That translates to, what is your sex life?
What is your sex life?
Anyway, how's your sex life?
The actual quote... This one is actually... How is this a line in a film? Leave your stupid comments in your pocket.
Oh, yeah.
And the translated one is, leave the deep comments in your pocket.
Sounds better.
Sounds better. The last one, you're tearing me apart, Lisa. Translates to, you cut me, Lisa.
You should have done a bond about the street on the hospital or whatever. Oh, what's he say? Yeah, I beat her up so bad that she ended
up... What a funny story.
What a funny story, Mark.
What a story, Mark. some of them didn't translate well. Yeah. But it's funny. So, you get this one. First time, Dale.
Okay.
And right. I can't remember.
What are you doing?
I lost my paper. Here we go. The first one. Go home. Forgetting... I can admit persistence, but good faith can't come.
No, I know what this is. Oh, it's the Prestige.
Son of a bee sting.
It's not even that close.
No good can come of this.
It's go home, forget this thing. I can recognise an obsession. No good will come of it. There's about six different words there.
Well done, Joe. Again, funny. I think it was your delivery, mate.
Play. Yeah, it was.
Was it? Yeah. Was I doing that like Bowie's Tesla?
No, but you did.
Oh no,
it.
Does Circus say that or Tesla?
No, that is
Tesla.
Bowie.
Yeah.
But you did it in his chunks.
It's hard. Yeah. It's hard not to.
Yeah, because it's so good.
It's also because that's how punctuation works. Yeah.
It's true.
The other ones from that. Should we do the real ones?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A bullet catches suicide. All it takes is some smart-ass volunteer to put a button in the barrel. That translates as...
What, a button in a barrel?
Imagine this. This translates as, capturing massacres is suicide. All you need is a clever volunteer pushing the Prime Minister.
What?
What? Button in a barrel translates as Prime Minister.
I don't know what's so going weird. On there. Man's reach exceeds his imagination.
Man's reach.
Translates as, the human touch is beyond imagination. no one cares about the man in the box, the man who disappears. Translates as, nobody cares about the people in the box who disappear.
Okay.
And then the last one, now you're looking for the secret, but you won't find it because, of course, you're not really looking. You don't really want to work it out. You want to be fooled. That goes for, now you're looking for a secret, but of course you won't find it. You really don't want to solve this issue. You want to be an idiot.
He really likes the word idiot.
Why didn't you do the quote with, pardon me, it's been a while since I saw real magic.
I found one more that it would have been way too obvious, but I just wanted to translate it because it's funny. So the real one is, I've been Caesar, I've played Faust. How hard could it possibly be to play the great Danton?
The great Danton.
It translates as, I was an emperor. I played Faust. How difficult can it be to play Big Danton?
Big Danton.
Big Danton.
Oh, my God.
Big Danton.
How difficult can it be to play the Big Danton?
That would actually work for that character.
It really would.
If he just missed it.
Yeah.
Root's good, isn't he?
Oh, the Big Danton. I just forgot he's so good.
I want to watch all those films now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
I've played Caesar. Oh, God, Root's so good. I just want to talk about
Prestige. Prestige is good, isn't it?
Fuck me, it's good. Right, feedback.
Yeah.
What have these people been saying to us? Oh, I've got this mad one.
There's no name on my one.
This one, mine is from an anonymous person.
I'll find out who it's from.
Mine's from an anonymous person who at the end says that he's called Jack Sparkles, which if you've listened
that's
to...
That's not his real name.
If you've football listened manager. To it's Football Day, you would know why.
Jack Sparks.
Hi, everyone. I'm a bottle of homebrew wine in, so I'll try not to ramble too much. Okay. I'm just done watching episode 3 of The Mandalorian. More! By the way, we haven't actually said it before now. We're going to talk about the newest episode of The Mandalorian.
After feedback. Spoiler chat.
Just so you know. Funny story. A few weeks ago, I threw on Netflix and started browsing. And oh, look, it's The Terminator. And I've not watched that in ages. Too lazy to browse, so I'll stick it on. I've always been a fan of Mr. Schwarzenegger. And we can all agree we are familiar with Twins, True Lies, Kindergarten Cop, Last Action Hero. And all we know this man's characters well, so we obviously know his best stuff.
Didn't say Total Recall.
Jingle All The Way, the best one.
So we all know the lines from the Terminator films. And he says in your best accent... I'll be back.
Oh, yeah, that is one.
Get to the chopper.
That's not from Terminator.
No, he's not. Actually, he is saying that from Terminator films. Good point.
It's from Predator, mate.
And if you want to stay alive, stay with me. Well, it happens to turn out I have never seen it before, and that if you want to stay alive, stay with me is not a line from Arnold. Mm. My shock and horror to realise I have never seen this amazes me. I was 2 years old when it came out, so... When I was younger, I saw Alien 2 first and loved it. But at least I went and saw and loved the original.
This is a lovely ramble.
Look, if you're a bottle of homebrew wine in, you're doing well.
Don't write to a podcast.
Please do.
There is more. I'm just going to carry on.
Carry on.
Now the kicker, Football Manager reference, he says. Yeah. Yes, that.
What was that whole Schwarzenegger bit about?
Just that he didn't know that it was a line.
Okay.
As I've been listening for a good while now, I always look forward to the Inception references.
Do we make a lot of them?
I love this. I think he means Prestige. Yeah. I wish I could have been at the live screening you did and that sort of thing.
Okay, yeah.
So, I was on Reddit watching the GIF of the rotating set I have seen so many times.
Fucking hell.
And noticed something was wrong. Think about it. What could possibly be wrong? So I watched a trailer for Inception, and if you read the first part of this email out and people are paying attention, you will have realised that I have never seen Inception. I have been listening for years. Absolutely convinced myself I knew what you were talking about. I don't understand.
I don't think he knows what he's talking about.
I love this.
Now, the end of this email is somehow the best bit. Listen to these three lines. I love it. So, the Torrent of Inception and the Joker are downloading. If I'm pissed during the week, I'll follow up. And then at the end, he just writes, how much do you think a baby Yoda is worth? Yours lovingly, Jack Sparkles.
Jesus. Well, it's about 10 sheets of Beskar.
Yeah, that's very true.
I don't know where to start.
I would like to say, Jack Sparkles, please do your damnedest to get pissed more often than send us emails. Yeah.
About the Prestige.
The Prestige Inception thing is very confusing to me because that's not confusing the name. That's thinking we're making reference to a film that we've never really talked about.
I mean, it's a great film.
It's a great film.
It is better than The Prestige.
Shut up, stupid bastard.
We almost never reference it.
No.
It's not as funny. It's not as quotable, I'll give it that.
Absolutely not. Although I do like...
You don't know?
I do like... Well, Tom Hardy says something funny where he says darling at the end of it.
Oh.
You mustn't be afraid to dream a bit bigger.
Darling. Yeah. It's good, that line.
Think you know knots better than me, do you? Those aren't even quotes.
Who wrote that email in?
Jack Sparkles.
Right, I'll block him on my list.
What?
No, I'm joking.
I love Jack Sparkles.
I do love Jack Sparkles. Jack Sparks, not that good of a player, though.
No, so, that's a shame.
It is a shame. Right, it's me. And this piece of paper didn't have the name of the man, so I looked it up, and it is from Sam Drysdale.
What a lovely peek inside the process.
Right. Yeah. Hi, guys. Firstly, I just want to say thank you for the extra work you put in each week to give us a fun and exciting podcast.
Yeah, we've had 2 tweets today telling us to hurry up and upload the podcast. We don't get anything for this. It's not like we're making more money.
Also, it's free for you. Yeah. Have a little bit of patience.
It wasn't even like 1 p.m. yet.
One of them came through at like 11. What? Give us a break.
Chill out.
I was doing the Mandalorian
review. No. Go and read that. It's great if you're watching The Mandalorian.
Watch the video review. It's better.
I sound very
better,
tired.
Is it?
I sound very tired in it.
Anyway.
Only watch that if you've seen it, though. Read it if you've
100%,
seen it.
Oh, 100%. It's spoiler central.
Yeah. Anyway, back to the email. I thought that it would take a knock after the slugs left so suddenly, but it has stayed consistently entertaining each week.
Yeah, some would say it's got better.
100%.
The firm's in now, not the boys or the slugs. This is a long one, so please bear with me. Ever since the announcement of Call of Duty Modern Warfare, I've been super excited for it. I talked to my girlfriend into picking it up for me on launch day, and even FaceTimed her from work to talk her step by step on how to install it so it was ready to play when I got home. So good so far.
Efficient.
Mm-hmm. Bit of a... I can imagine doing that with my wife and not getting a positive result, to be honest. So fair play. The problem arose when I realised how shit I was at it. I tried numerous times to play, but just found myself getting frustrated at my ability and wound up selling it on. Fast travel a few weeks now, and I found myself telling a friend the new Call of Duty sucks, and it got me thinking. So my question to you guys is, have you ever judged a game on how good you are at it rather than its usual merits, i.e. graphics, gameplay, etc.? Also, how common do you think that is within the industry? There are also exceptions to this, like Dark Souls, which receive high praise for how difficult it is, despite it not looking great and being littered with glitches. Thanks ahead for your thoughts on this.
I mean, there's a difference between assessing a game in terms of a review and liking a game. Mm. Like, I don't like Bloodborne, to your Dark Souls point, because I'm shite at it, and I don't like how bad it makes me feel, so I don't like it.
I think it's a clear distinction for me between knowing, like, I don't like this game because I'm not very good at it, or it just doesn't work with me, and then saying something sucks or shit.
Yeah.
I can clearly separate the two. I can clearly say... I can see that it's got a lot going for it. Like, I can see, like, Fire Emblem, for example. Like, everyone around me had such a good time playing it. I can see it's got merit. I just know, for me, that's not going to interest me in the slightest.
I think, and there's a difference between that and a game like... what was that game? There was a game called Rain World that came out 2 years ago, which I love the look of and I love the idea of, and it's really, really cool. But that game was too hard in the wrong way. Like, it was... punishing to the point where it made the game not fun to play anymore.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is a legitimate criticism. That's not just me being shit at it. That's me thinking the game design fundamentally doesn't work in its favour. Which isn't to say that people didn't like it for the same reason. Some people really liked how that worked. I just didn't think it was very good.
It's left a difficulty thing for me and just my finding it fun. Like, the thing, although, like, the Souls games, I always use that example, but they are punishingly difficult. But I... just don't find it fun. Like, I don't mind a challenge if I'm finding it fun. That's exactly what happened in Fallen Order. Like, I pushed a difficulty down because I didn't find it was a fun challenge. I found it a challenge. Well, like, and it's just whether, you find it fun. Like, I know, Joe, your game of the year is probably The Outer Wilds.
Yeah.
I appreciate the hell out of the game for what it does and what the world is and the story, but I just, playing it, did not find it fun.
There's also a big difference between talking to your mate about what you think about a game and doing a critical review as well. So obviously, you know, you have to, when it comes to critical review, you have to look at it from a different eyes as well. Also, I think when he says how common, I think, is this within the industry, that almost feels a little bit like accusatory. Like, he thinks some people do that. I rarely see that.
Certainly the people I've worked with who've done reviews, I would trust not to do that.
Yes.
Like,
there might be some people out there that, you know, that take that approach.
But, like, I literally had people tell me when I reviewed Rain World that I was too shit at it to like it. And, like, I find that unfair because my criticism was never that it was hard.
Yeah.
It was that it was stupidly punishing, which is two different things.
Exactly,
I get that even when I review FIFA, if I criticise saying, I don't know, the defending seems hard this year, like, comments just saying you just don't know how to defend. I know how it works.
And there is a skill in being able to discern whether someone's criticizing something for the right reason. And you might just disagree with me and think I'm criticizing it for the wrong reason. I can't do anything about it.
But it's something like, take Modern Warfare as an example. I appreciate that is a good multiplayer shooter to play, one of the best, because people play it every year, but I can't play it anywhere near as good as I used to play it. I can't keep up with
But you'd never say it was terrible. You'd just say, I'm just not good at it.
It's not for me.
So
like,
I just don't play
That's why I play Siege, because it's a slower, more... It's a thinking man shooter, I like to think, rather than moment-to-moment, like, deathmatch experience.
Well, it's more about preparation and working with your team and
game.
Making a plan, as opposed to, like, a Call of Duty, which is very much as fast as you can possibly move.
Cerebral murder.
But then again, Overwatch is one of the quickest games You can play at times.
But not in terms of...
But not
like
punishing in the loop.
TTK, yeah. As they call it. You've got more time in the moment of fighting someone to do that. Mm. Interesting question, Sam Drysdale.
I have got an email from James Dean.
Oh, hello. The James Dean.
34 from Wiltshire.
All right.
So probably not.
Yeah. Not dead.
Well, they are bringing them back to life, though, aren't they? Oh, are they still doing that?
What the fuck knows?
I think enough people have complained that they won't do it now.
I'm not paying attention to it.
I'm intrigued.
It's a bit scummy.
I don't think you should do it. That's my opinion.
Also scary for what the future would hold if we did things like that all the time.
Yeah.
Also stop them just getting all these actors from the past and then chucking their family just a tiny, insignificant amount of money.
De-aging is one thing. Facing someone is not.
It might mean that I'm on IGN forever, though.
Ooh,
after I've de-aged myself, then I get
how much would your family get?
Revived. I don't care. Yeah. It's all about the prestige.
They'd be, trying to get them to do it.
I've said the words "the prestige" again, but I mean that in the typical sense.
Anyway, James Dean says, "Hi guys, long time listener, love the show.
Hello, thanks,
Cheers,
mate,
Dino."
So I signed up to Project X Cloud game streaming beta testing and have been given access. So far, I'm loving it.
Nice. Mm.
Mainly because I'm a father of four small children and really don't get that much time to play games on the TV. I invested in a Switch last year simply for this reason, and it's helped me get back into gaming. So the
Why did it sounded like you couldn't work out.
For some reason, in my head, it was going to say back into the groove, and it didn't. Back into gaming.
Back into the groove.
I don't know. I had in my head that that's where that sentence was going.
Is there ignore me. I want to say an Aladdin sequel called something Emperor's Groove or something.
That's a separate Emperor's film.
Emperor's Groove. What am I thinking of?
Yeah, I'm a hammer again.
Good film, Matt. Anyway, help me get back into gaming. So this Microsoft venture seems perfect for me too. Would like to know your quick thoughts on Microsoft's game streaming service and if you guys have tried it yet. Is it a Stadia killer? And will it give Nintendo a run for their money?
I have not.
James seems to think it will give them Nintendo a run.
I have not played with xCloud, but I can tell you, having played Stadia, that I think it's a Stadia killer. We haven't talked very much about Stadia. We got
only
a Unity
because
really
no one's talking
tried it.
About it. Well, the one thing I have tried on it is Football Manager with you.
Yes.
And it claims to be the fastest way to play Football Manager. It didn't really seem to be.
No, we need to look into that more. Yeah. That's interesting. Stadia, let's just talk about it a bit for a bit.
Yeah.
Not impressed so far. I don't.
It just doesn't seem...
I still can't see why I'd need it.
Yes, no. It feels ultimately
pointless at
this stage. Yes, and maybe in 5 years' time when there's a new console cycle coming and then that's a viable option to buying a new like a PS5, you can say, oh, you can have the same games on this experience and it's so much cheaper and you don't have to have a souped up console or PC.
The thing that surprised me so much was when you told me that at this point you still need to connect the controller with a cable.
Yes. So like you can't, only if you're using a phone, if you're using Chromecast or I think just regular PC play, you can. But if you want to use your phone with the mad clip that scratches the controller.
What?
You do have to connect it with a cable so you look mad.
Mad.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, if you've paid attention to Stadia, you've probably heard most of the concerns. Mm-hmm. My basic feeling with it is it like solves a problem that doesn't exist.
Yes.
Like it's a console-less console for people who don't want to buy a big box. Mm. But I think it's only interesting to you if you're the kind of person who already buys big boxes. Mm. Like, I don't see why my mate, Pete, who plays a few games a year and just likes playing those games, would buy this thing. Like, he could get a box that plays his Blu-rays and he can plug a USB into and play stuff off that and have Spotify on it. Well, no, that would be a PS4. Anyway, like, you can do a lot more with just having one more box.
From what I saw of you putting it together, it doesn't seem to be a simple
thing. It should be. I think, to be fair, I think that's more a problem with office Wi-Fi than it is anything else. Although I did have trouble getting it online at home, but this was pre-release.
I haven't had much chance to see what things actually look like on it, but
it doesn't look very
good. Well, that's my problem with it, because I think a way of maybe selling people with it is, you don't have this huge PC at home, but you want to try these latest games. You want to try Assassin's Creed Odyssey and you want to see it at the highest spec possible. So you want to stream it through Stadia, and it's a cheap alternative to doing, but it doesn't seem to look like it is.
And there was this weird comment the other day where Google was saying, like, that's down to the developers, not Stadia. Like, Stadia does do 4K 60.
Yeah. It's bold to have a pop-up Rockstar like that.
And then saying, kind of shifting the blame on the developers, like, they're the ones who haven't got it running.
Mm.
But then, does that mean that it's hard to make it run on your service? Yeah. Like, is this the old N64 problem where they've made it purposely difficult to develop games for it?
I don't know. It seems like they've botched this launch.
It's very strange. Like it feels like I don't know why.
That's what I think. I think it's just too
They probably wanted to hit this Christmas and felt the time was right because there'll be new consoles next year.
Yeah.
It's been confirmed now.
Yeah.
I feel like they maybe might have had a better chance if they'd have launched with the new consoles next year and positioned themselves as a viable alternative instead. You could argue that you're going against fiercer competition, but you at least you'd make more of an impact, I think.
Yeah. To James's actual question,
I have heard good things about it.
That's it. I keep hearing good things about it, and on the surface, xCloud is the thing I'd want as someone who buys the big box. Having that available to me in more places is what I want.
Well, it's a bit like when you could do remote play on the Vita, but it was never stable enough.
Like it was a great idea, but I tried it
a few times. Like
I played No Man's Sky on my old balcony. That was nice.
It was functional to a degree, but it was never
like those fluid. Rare moments where I was really hooked on a game and I couldn't use the TV for some reason.
Yeah.
I would play on it for like an hour.
Do you remember when I think it was like an F1 game that had it and you used the Vita as like your rear view mirror?
Oh, I love that.
But it's mad though. Imagine having to hold up the Vita while you play it.
That's some, pretty Wii U-esque stuff, and I'm into that. As one of the few Wii U apologists still left in this world, I still have it plugged into my TV.
Blimey.
I've not turned it on. No. It's there.
Did you see all the funny like images of people saying, like putting like the Wii U and stuff on Netflix saying, watching The Irishman the way Scorsese intended, just on a Wii U gamepad?
Yes, please. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that tonight. So there you go, James. I hope that helped. Mm-hmm. It didn't really, but I hope xCloud's great. Thanks,
I'm intrigued
mate.
By it.
Yeah, I would love to give it a try.
All these streaming services remain to me at the moment is intrigue, not something I actually need or really want to
use. Well, so as someone who is being forced somewhat against their will to go to a grandparent's house for Christmas...
have a great time.
Well, yeah. at least... there's the possibility if I get on the xCloud program that I can play all my games, which would be really nice.
You got a Switch though.
Yeah, I did a lot of Switch last year. It's very good.
How long do you have to spend at your grandparents?
Ages.
Look, you've got Football Manager Touch for your iPad now.
It's not on my iPad.
Get it on your iPad.
What, I'd have to buy it again.
Do you?
Yeah, it's a Steam thing.
I thought you'd get
it for lead.
Get it on the mobile version.
I know, I might actually have to do that. Or I could get the Switch one. Anyway, actually, let's finish up. Oh no, we've got Mandalorian to talk about. Screw talking more. Right. Hello. we finished the main bit of the podcast. If you are watching The Mandalorian, then you're allowed to keep listening. If you aren't watching The Mandalorian, we are going to be spoiling up until the end of episode 4 from this noise that we haven't decided what it'll be yet. Oh, we're going to decide now?
No, I'm going to decide what it is. The Tusken Raider noise.
Amazing. I love that. All right. What
was that, seal?
Not that
one. That was terrible.
This one. Right, last chance.
It's more like that, isn't it? It's
last chance. You've got to leave now if you don't want the Mandalorian spoiled, all right? Okay, bye. What do you think?
I thought it was good. Of episode 4?
Of everything up till now? We haven't talked about it since...
I did enjoy the first two, but I was maybe the one who leaned more negative.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought episode 3 was just fantastic.
I think 3's absolutely.
I was lukewarm on the first one. I really liked the second one. I thought the third one was brilliant. Yeah. And I thought the fourth one was very good.
I thought it was good, but it felt very much like episode 2. And maybe a tiny step back. It felt like very much an isolated episode of like, this is a small little extra story.
It reminded me of a lot of other things, which is weird for a Star Wars film. Like, it felt more like a Star Trek episode.
Yeah, I can see that. My issue with it was more... So I liked it, I should say.
Yeah.
I reviewed it, which is lovely. It's my first ever TV review for IGN. I enjoyed it in the same way, for the same reasons I've enjoyed all of The Mandalorian. Like, I love this like single structure, one shot episode thing where we're not waiting for resolution on stuff.
Yeah.
Baby Yoda's still fucking wicked.
I will watch him do anything.
He was extra cute in this episode.
He's incredible.
As well.
He's and like proper actual comedy bits. Yeah, yeah. Like, making the shit rumble with that button is so fucking yeah, funny. Yeah. And then I really like Pedro Pascal. Like I was. He's Pedro Pascal,
yeah,
isn't he?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I forgot his first name.
Actually, he's got a bit more depth now.
That's it. It's like, I was worried when this started that he would just be like an avatar.
Yeah.
Like, not to keep doing the video game comparison. But as it goes on, like, particularly that little line where he calls him his little womp rat and stuff, like, really touching little bits of you get the man behind the armor.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm enjoying that. My problem was that I found... When we've been in, like, cool cantinas and tense situations and, like, murky waters of he's helping the Empire but he doesn't want to and, like, all that kind of moralistic stuff.
Yeah.
This is literally a planet where good people wear one kind of clothes and bad people wear another kind of clothes. Yeah. And, like, it feels very...
Felt Planet of the Apes. Like, start of Planet of the Apes.
But it just
felt like Lord of the Rings, didn't it? Especially at the start with that, like, orcs attacking the village.
And, like, did you see in the concept art at the end? I love those, by the way. Yeah, the credit concept art is such a great idea. The villagers were originally definitely, like, little dwarfy alien people.
Oh, really?
And they've clearly got rid of that.
Yeah.
That would have almost made more sense to me because having this village of like shit humans who are really bad at dealing with stuff getting attacked by pig creatures, you're just like, that just feels a bit easy, like a bit sci-fi 101.
I was sorry that that was going to be it, but then when the AT-ST turned up, so I originally right at the start I thought they got an AT-AT and I thought that'd be mad, but no, they went one step down.
I do love the idea that the Empire's just left behind its weapons.
It's amazing.
Like such a cool,
it's almost
little
like Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yeah, it really is. Like, I really like that feeling of they're gone, but they're not.
It's such a cool image.
It looked cool with the red eyes. Also, like, why has it got red eyes?
Well, it also
lights up in
they
there.
They specifically never lighting. Showed you anyone inside it, so it acted like a big dinosaur.
It did. That's what I thought, because Bryce Dallas Howard directed it. It was very, like, T-Rex in Jurassic Park.
I really like that point. I wish that I'd stolen it for our review. I do like that it kind of went full samurai as well, where it's like, you know, the stoic warrior protecting a peaceful village and stuff. That's cool. Yeah.
The whole plan was, let's hope it steps in the river.
Yeah.
Which is simple, but it worked.
It could have just walked around the edge. We also haven't talked about episode 3, which I think is the best episode of the series.
Yeah.
And that's the point at which I was so like, good. Yes, 100% yes. Like, I liked it already, but that whole episode is so... It's so well paced and it packs so much into that short time. And the payoff of that fucking fight with the Mandalorians swooping over on their jet.
It's great.
It's absolute like nerd crack. much what you want. As soon as you see the big Mandalorian, which is apparently Jon Favreau.
Is it?
At least the voice.
The Gatling gun.
At least the voice is.
That's cool.
As soon as you see him, you're like, fuck, I hope I get to see him shoot someone. Yeah. Like, it's so
it's not quite to the same extent that a Game of Thrones would do it, but they're not afraid to just kill off characters and say, yeah, you're only getting them for one or two episodes.
Yeah. So Carl Weathers didn't die, did he? Like, he just took a wound.
Yeah,
and
I think it's implied that he's still alive. Yeah, but either way.
He got shot in the chest, but he had the
steel
there, didn't he?
Even Taika Waititi's character.
IGA.
Yeah. IGA 11. I don't know if we'll see, what's the UFC... Is she an
Gina
MMA
Carano.
Gina Carano.
Yeah, a long time ago she was. She's an actress spinning like she was in Deadpool 2 as well.
She was in Haywire, which I really like.
I don't know. It implies we may see her again, but I wouldn't be surprised if we don't at the same time.
I really like this feeling of just like Nick Nolte's character, see you later. Gina Carano's character, see you later. Just getting good little guest spots. Yeah.
Maybe just because we'd all watched Breaking Bad, we accepted, I can't remember the actor
who plays. Giancarlo Esposito.
Yeah, plays Gus Fring in Breaking Bad. Expects him to kind of be the big bad just because that's what he has been before.
You thought that, right? And I've seen press material that him, like he had this sort of presence.
Well, I'm
about
thinking
him.
Now maybe it's just one episode he's a bad guy on the planet.
Could easily
he might
be
not
that.
Even be a bad guy.
And like, actually, the Star Trek thing really works because it does feel a bit more like he's just going. There's a reason for him to be there, but he's just going on these little adventures and like things are happening.
It's
almost really good.
Like Doctor Who.
Like, I just, I'm really enjoying that. It just, it's so satisfying knowing that every time I sit down to watch it now, I'm expecting, like, a full story.
You get a new planet, new people, like, hopefully. Yeah, something a bit interesting.
Like, obviously Succession's amazing, but, like, it's a show where it's, like, I know that I'm not getting what's happened until the end.
Right.
You know, like, that's one long episode, essentially. Yeah. And, like, it's so nice watching something like fucking X-Files again, where you're just like, yay, it's done.
Yeah. How many more times are they going to fake out the audience thinking he's leaving Baby Yoda?
I think that's it. Yeah. That's got to be
it. That's got to be it now. Oh, that's got to be
the where the crosshairs over his head is. Like, it's not going to do it, but,
the
like,
balls,
Jesus.
The balls if they did that.
Yeah.
But I think now they've established he knows that he can't just abandon him anyway, because he's going to get tracked no matter what, so he's going to stick with him.
I've abandoned my Yoda!
God, he's so
on
cute.
The run. The fugitive.
Also, I just love him having the Beskar steel and building his armor. It's really satisfyingly cool.
Yeah.
And his gun's cool as well. Yeah.
Oh, that pulse rifle should be in everything.
Oh, with the tuning fork on the end of it.
I want that in control. Imagine making people just burst and all their clothes fly away. That's so good.
It's a good series.
Right. Mm. That's probably it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm. All right. Enjoy yourselves. We'll see you next week.
Here's some of Mark Zuckerberg talking about his, what's it, brisket?
He's doing brisket and ribs.
Brisket and ribs.
Yeah.
Hey, everyone. We are live from my backyard where I am smoking a brisket and some ribs. I'm making meats now. Smoking these meats here. Our little meat smoking. It's smoking. So, I'm the meat chef. Yeah, someone asked me, do I smoke meat? Smoking meat. Smoking these meats. Smoking meats earlier in the day. Smoking these meats. Just set the charcoal up and you set the wood chips up. And then smoking meats. Grilling meats. Good smoky flavor. Smoke a brisket for like 12 hours. You smoke lemon chicken. Smoke salmon. You'll love it. Bison sirloin. Ribs and sausage. So I'm looking forward to that.
Nowadays, trends and news cycles change faster than we can blink. But there are some things that withstand the test of time. And if you're looking for a connection to something timeless, and maybe also a glimpse of life at a slower pace, I believe everyone can relate to the very human experiences explored in Jane Austen's novels. And that's where I come in. My name is Alison Larkin. I'm a writer, comedian, and narrator and host of The Jane Austen Podcast with Alison Larkin. I spent a lot of my childhood in the part of England where Jane Austen lived and wrote, and now that I live in the States, nothing gives me a sense of homecoming quite like narrating her books. On this show, you'll listen to award-winning narration. I'll give myself a pat on the back for that. As well as conversations with actors, writers, and other fascinating people who all share a passionate love for Jane Austen. So please, join me as we embark on a wonderful journey through Jane Austen's work. Be sure to listen and subscribe to The Jane Austen Podcast with Alison Larkin, wherever you get your podcasts.